B-Pod Studios.
Good Thursday morning to you.
Thirsty? Why so thirsty?
Thirsty, brother.
Good Thursday morning.
So thirsty.
You're so thirsty right now.
God, I'm so thirsty.
Thirsty Thursday.
Today on Thirsty Thursday.
You're thirsty.
If we had an HR department, you would be in trouble right now.
I know.
What? Thirsty.
Let's get the show on the road.
80s and more.
105.7 WROR.
Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. Here it is Thursday morning. A little bit chilly out there. Not bad, though. But at least it's nice and dry this morning, and things we have coming up in the program today. My, that was an interesting day in federal court yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like kind of like a red carpet situation.
It was.
I just have one question. How do you pronounce Lori Loughlin's last name? Is it Loughlin or is it Loughlin?
I think more Loughlin than Loughlin.
I feel like I don't want to follow that tide.
What did the judge say?
I don't know. That's what I need to...
We have an expert today.
Yes, we do. Yep. Megan Johnson, who's a writer in Boston. She covered it, and she'll be talking to us at about 8:40, giving us all the details. She was right there in the scrum of media.
That was really amazing. It's kind of interesting how the two different handled it differently, too. You know.
Well, yes, and we'll talk about that.
That was very
really interesting. Okay.
I want to know if there was any tension about the free Aunt Becky and the pay for my college people. Really divided lines there.
And one of the
sidewalk divided.
And an interesting thing, one of the husbands didn't show up. You know?
Yeah, well, he's not charged, so I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to take this day off. You can hold that guy's hand, whoever that guy was.
Yep, you'd think, you know, Felicity. For support, maybe. Anyway, okay, we got that coming up. We'll cover dirty. What are we doing in the dirty laundry today?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, what happened yesterday.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit about the way they handled it.
Yeah. Okay.
Lori Loughlin was signing autographs, I saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, very meat and greedy.
Okay, so we got Bob Ryan, Mr. Everything. See, the Red Sox won a ball game last night, so we'll talk to Mr. Everything.
Oh, you finally go to the 99.
I know.
Wow, that was a long time coming. Maybe this is the day I'll pay it forward.
Did you see the parking standoff in Los Angeles yesterday?
Oh, did I see it? I watched that at least 5 times.
That was amazing.
It was so amazing. So reminded me of Brian Bell.
Really?
I don't know why you'd say something like that.
Just did.
But is anybody team silver car? I don't think so.
Okay, so we got that coming up for you.
Later.
Yeah, let me see. There is a brush fire warning out there. You know, so don't be, you know, burning today.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't have left that fire going
don't
in the backyard.
That's the second time in a week, and they always do it the day after it rains.
It's
kind of odd.
Hey, if you have an old school Garmin GPS, remember the old school Garmin? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday is the day that it could completely go haywire. It's kind of like
Y2K.
Exactly. Okay, so we got that coming up today. Anyway, we got we'll give you the 80s song of the day, which will give you 5 chances a day to win $1,000 to qualify for the $10,000 grand prize. Plus, we have Win a Grand in 60 seconds, and that is coming up next. Right here, WROR.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
So who opened the floodgates on this whole thing? Was it Heinz with the mayo chip?
I think so. I think it's the evil empire because, you know what? If you're going to mix your condiments, you should mix them yourself. It's like...
I agree with that.
You know, it's like cocktails. You want to make your own drinks. You want to trust it to like some sort of canned thing. And this is like a canned situation. It's yucky and it's gross and the colors are putrid.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem. I feel like Heinz is just taking like the condiments that aren't selling well and mixing them with the ones
precisely.
That are.
Now, see, here's the deal. Heinz started this whole thing when they mixed ketchup and mayonnaise together.
Mayo chup.
And they're selling it, as a standalone condiment. Now, I suspect the reason they did that was because they're trying to push their mayonnaise brand. Well, the mayonnaise brand is dominated, you know,
by Hellman's.
By Hellman's, you know, and they don't stand a chance. So they say, okay, what we'll do is we'll take all this mayonnaise we got and we'll mix it with ketchup. So now it's getting out of hand.
It is, because now they have, this is a mashup that's just wrong. Mayo must.
Right.
Yeah, mustard with mayonnaise.
Mustard. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mayo Q, which is mayo and barbecue, and Cranch.
That's the new one. Now.
This is the newest one, Cranch. Now, what's Cranch?
Cranch is ketchup and ranch dressing, which is like a flavored mayo in my estimation. Don't you think? Like, ranch is kind of, I don't know. It wants to be blue cheese, it wants to be mayo, but it's like ranch.
But it wants to be more watery.
Are there a lot of foods you put both on, though, really? Like, I've never thought about putting ranch on my hamburger or on my french fries or onion rings.
I think some people put ranch on their hamburgers.
They do?
And then I think some of it spills off with the ketchup, and then you know what happens? This is how this monster is born. And then somebody takes a fry and dips it like in both just to get the ketchup, and then they're like, wow, that's a really good combo.
My kids eat a lot of ranch with stuff, and they have, you know, some veggies and stuff, and then they have ketchup too. But this is my biggest problem is the color of the cranch.
It's disgusting.
It's just this like pasty, pale, pinkish.
Pussy. Gross.
I don't want a glob of anything that color on my food.
The mayo cue, I think, is worse.
Yes, because that looks like
brown.
Something that a baby
it
might
it looks like. Yeah, it looks like something the doctor would say. Have you had any, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Don't
venture too
lemony.
Far from home.
That's right. Whatever you do. Yeah,
it is National Burrito Day.
Yeah.
I need this to stop.
Yeah. Okay,
so. I don't know.
This is a scourge on society.
Yeah, who's demanding this?
I don't know.
Is this stuff really selling?
Does anybody buy it?
I don't know.
Anybody out there buying it?
Yeah, does anybody buy this stuff?
I think the most annoying person this summer will be if you have a cookout and they're like, I'm sorry, do you have any cranch?
Or mayo food?
Morning. More 80s. All day. And all night. 80s more. 105.7 WROR.
Presenting fun with obituaries right here on the Lauren Ward Morning Show.
I mean, there's nothing like a great obituary, and I think that it's the last word on your life, so you might want to think about it.
Might want to make it good.
You might want to make it good. I think people actually, you know, they want things to be included in their obit. They want things to be left out.
Yeah. Maybe you should update it like your resume.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people do things later in life so that they can pump up their obit. Like, I'm like, why are you volunteering now?
You know, yeah. Why do you care what's in your obituary? Because, you know, by the time it's read, you're dead.
Right, exactly. But then, all right, we came across this amazing obituary for Tim Schrant of Iowa. He was 63 years old, and he died after a short battle with cancer, and his family wrote him a nice obit. I can't read the whole thing because it's long, but here are some of the highlights. Tim Schrant, his middle name was Leonard, by the way, made his last inappropriate comment on March 29th, 2019. For those of you who did meet him, we apologize, as we're sure he probably offended you. He was world-renowned for not holding back and telling it like it is. His position as king and orator in his family was challenged by the nuns at St. Wenceslas School in Spillville. He may have met his match. We're not saying the nuns won, but they put up a good fight. We mean literally. He got into a fisticuff with a nun. In fairness, she probably started it. Tim worked at Stanley Black & Decker in Iowa as a tool and die maker for 30 plus years. Tim worked with many friends and a bunch of morons. His words, not ours. Well, not exactly his words, because that would have included a bunch of swear words. Tim led a good life and had a peaceful death, but the transition was a bitch. And for the record, he did not lose his battle with cancer. When he died, the cancer died. So technically, it was a tie.
Oh my God.
He was ready to meet his maker. We're just not sure the maker is ready to meet Tim. Good luck, God. We are considering establishing a GoFundMe for G. Heilman Brewing Company, the brewers of Old Style Beer, as we anticipate they are about to experience significant hardship as the result of loss of Tim's business. Keep them in your thoughts.
Oh, poor Tim.
Wow. Tim. That's pretty good obituary.
The whole thing is great. We'll put it up at WROR.com. You know, there's nothing like a well-written obituary that makes you laugh.
We had a good friend, Michael Callahan. He was a governor's counselor member. And when he died, and he was mid-60s, well-loved guy, said, don't worry if you can't go to my funeral, because I won't be at yours.
Good point.
Pretty good way to close it.
So now that brings up the next thing that we need to talk about this morning. That, of course, is if I go first.
I go first conversation.
Yep. Have you had that conversation?
Well,
it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. But there are certain things that are big things. There are big things like wills and trusts and things like that.
Right, yeah.
But then it's like not that. It's the little things. Like little things. Like if I go first, I have to tell Dave Falcone that black bras don't go under white shirts when he's dressing a child.
Oh. 80s and more. 105.7 WROR.
Okay.
This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
I get it. What we need is we need help on this. You can give us a call, 617-931-1057. If you've had the if I go first conversation, what are the little things?
Passwords.
Those little
how to
things.
Operate
yeah, passwords.
The washing machine.
All that,
who's our oil company?
Yeah, exactly. Who's our oil company? Do we have a plumber?
Yeah, do we have a number for a plumber around here? These are important things we need to know, Hank. Hey, the Sox finally win a game.
Yes, they scored three in the night. They snapped their four-game losing streak, beat the A's 6-3 in Oakland. Mookie doubled off the third-base bag, knocking in two runs in the ninth. Blake Swihart had three hits, including a homer. They wrap up the series this afternoon in Oakland. Gordon Hayward, 15 of his 25 points in the second half. Celts beat the Heat, 112-102 in Miami. Bruins in Minnesota tonight. And Patriots owner Robert Kraft's attorney says the cameras that allegedly recorded Kraft in that Florida day spa violate constitutional privacy protections. I'm Hank Morse.
Thank you much, Hank.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to If I Go First, the conversation.
Yeah, well, the Globe had this piece the other day, and it was basically, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes if I go first.
If I go first, yes. You got to have the conversation.
And, like, it's not about the big stuff. Like, people usually have, like, the wills and the trusts and all that.
Right, yeah.
But it's the little stuff. Like, one of the people who was quoted in it said, she once a month she holds a fire drill with her husband, reminding him where she keeps the notebook with the passwords for the bank, the insurance company, Boston Public Library, Sonos, Netflix, Easy Pass, and so on. I mean, you know, there's that. And then, yeah. Then you know, I mean, I don't know. For me, I would say if I go first and you remarry within the year, I will haunt you in a way that makes The Conjuring look like a Disney movie.
Wow. Anything outside
of you work, then well, espresso.
It
would be like a Disney movie because the mother would be dead.
So. Exactly.
Anything outside of yours okay?
Pardon me?
Anything outside of yours okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
You wouldn't want Dave to live his best life with your money?
No, yeah.
Well, yeah, but after a year.
After a year. And not
okay,
my money.
Grieving period.
Statute of limitations
money.
On
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but, you know, like the things that you don't know what to do. Like, you is it, like who's the oil guy?
Yeah, like my wife has all of that.
Because they're, you know, people are more involved in like the things that they do as a marriage. But there are some things that like you do and some things your spouse does.
Right, like I know how to run the snowblower and the lawnmower and all the outdoor stuff.
Yes.
She has the oil company. But I think I would be better off because she's very organized. So I feel like I would be able to like look at the stuff and say, oh, here's all the stuff. Whereas if I went, my stuff is everywhere.
Yep. Me too.
And there's no way she could make sense of it.
This discussion yesterday made me go home and write some stuff down.
Yeah.
Including my life insurance policy is in the basement with the will I haven't signed yet. But that's where you'll find it.
Yeah. That's really.
Actually, my buddy came down one day. And he walked into the kitchen, and his life insurance policy was taped to the refrigerator by his wife.
Well, now that's...
And he was like, what are you doing? You know, are you planning something? Like, you think I'm going to die?
And check the brakes in the car.
Yeah, right. Wow.
No, but you have to have... I mean, I guess you have to have that stuff in one place. I do not.
You have it on your computer.
I don't have... Well, yeah, but Dave's like... struggles with the Mac. He's like, where's Microsoft Word?
So he's going to need a genius appointment if you go first.
First go to Apple for the genius appointment.
I'll see you in the ever here ever after or the Apple Store, whichever comes first. Okay?
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
Hey everybody, stop for your 720 Men from Maine. Brought to you by AAA. Massachusetts AAA members can save 10% on auto insurance with AAA, and you could save even more by bundling your auto and home. Call 866-284-7222 or visit your local AAA branch for a free quote. Switch and save today with AAA. And now, as promised, here is today's If I Go First, Men from Maine episode.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus and Effie are in the boudoir enjoying a little pillow talk when we hear...
You know, Effie, I've been thinking for a long time.
Yeah?
If I died, would you ever get married again?
Well, I suppose I would.
Would you sleep in our bed?
Well, it's the only bed in the house, Ephus. Of course I would.
Well, would you let him have his way with you?
Well, of course I would. He would be my husband.
Wow. Would you give him my old pickup truck?
No, no.
Why not?
Because he just bought a brand new one last week.
Join us again for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Hey,
right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
The Lorne and Wally Show.
Mornings.
More 80s.
More variety.
All day.
And all night.
80s and more.
105.7 WROR.
Okay, everybody, here we go. This is what you've been waiting for. It's time for our weekly visit with Mr. Everything himself, the incredible Bob Ryan. Good morning, Mr. Everything.
Good morning.
Bob, so nice to talk to you this morning. Bob, so like all through spring training, everybody was just worried about the bullpen.
Right.
And it looks like perhaps we should have been worried about starting pitching as well.
Oh, did the baseball season start? I didn't know. So tell me, what are we, two games in first, maybe? Yeah.
It's more of a soft opening to the season, don't you think?
This illustrates one of my favorite ongoing points when I give speeches and all, which is why sport is so interesting in our lives, is that the great element about sport that separates it from the other forms of, I call, leisure entertainment, for those of us who are fortunate enough to have leisure entertainment time, is the uncertainty, unpredictability, and it's not scripted. And God knows, if you had told any of us when we were last convened a week ago today, that the Red Sox would have this harrowing week that they had, no one would have believed it. And the nature of it was really fascinating in that it starts off with they can't pitch and then winds up that they get shut out 2 days in a row on top of that.
Wow.
So it was a double whammy, and you're so right. The only question, the only worry that any of us had as they entered the season was the bullpen, and that bullpen has been terrific.
Hey, Bob, Chris Sale. He's usually throwing 96, 97, 98, 99. The other night he averaged 89.7 miles per hour in his fastball.
I know it. And here's the most amazing stat of all. He has yet to have a swing and miss on his fastball. And that's staggering. His velocity is down. I haven't had a chance. I see there's some stuff in the paper today, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Maybe some further explanation, but it is stunning. But that alone is, just tells you that something's amiss, to say the very least.
Is it, or are they trying to ease him into it so he can make it through the season?
They tried to find a formula to get him through an entire season, something that he has had trouble doing, certainly since he's been a Red Sox. And, you know, it all came to fruition in the playoffs last year that he was there for the big moments, and he, of course, got the last out and all that. But he still didn't pitch very many innings.
Mm-hmm.
The workload is hardly a burdensome workload. They're the old kid glove thing. They're treating him, or Ming Vaz, whatever reference you want to use, positively. But last year, at least when he was always throwing his 94, 95, maybe he's going to work into it. They did have a spring training in which they were very, very careful with him. He didn't work a lot. They didn't pitch him many real games. He was on the bullpen sessions. He was throwing these simulated games, but very, very carefully monitored. It's the one thing about baseball, as we always say, it's 162 games. We've got lots of time to work everything out. Maybe everything will fall into place. But right now, it's obviously very, to say the least, disappointing.
Okay, speaking of disappointing, let's talk about the Celtics for just a minute.
Well, yes, the season has been a disappointment. They have a chance to at least salvage one goal with a very, very important game coming up in Indianapolis because they are fighting the Pacers for the home court in the first round. They'll be playing Indiana, and you'd rather have the home court than not have it, and if they can defeat Indiana in Indiana, they will have a very good chance of keep maintaining that. And there's one good sign of hope right now, one good positive note. Gordon Hayward is playing the way Gordon Hayward used to play.
Amazing. Took long
and
enough.
That was it did take a very long time, 5 months.
Yeah.
But what we saw last night was that's who they signed. That's who they threw the big money at. That's the guy they thought they were going to get last year. And his teammates are talking him up. They're finding out how to play with him. And I think it could very well be, I'm going to throw this, this one out there.
Oh, stand by, let's hear this.
The story of the playoffs will be Gordon Hayward has come to life.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing
okay.
having that coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Go figure.
However they're going to use him, it'd be great. And we got to salute our Boston Bruins, who are really had a nice year. And most of all, the little ball of hate.
The little ball of hate.
It scored 100 points. The first Bruin to do so in almost 20 years. And, you know, God love him. I mean, he has really changed, you know, from just being a little annoying pest that was our annoying little pest to being a terrific hockey player.
You know what stinks, though, Bob? The whole NHL playoff structure.
Oh, I don't understand anything. I'm going to have to get a tutorial. No, I think it's foolish. I don't like it.
I mean, three of the top five teams in the league are in the Bruins division.
Yeah.
And they're going to play, the Bruins are third overall. They're going to play the Maple Leafs, who are fifth overall in the league.
That's crazy.
It doesn't make the slightest bit of sense. I can't see how they can sit there and look at themselves and say, this makes sense. It doesn't make sense. I totally agree with you. They should not be playing Toronto right away.
Okay. One final thing. Who's going to win college championship?
The slight betting favorite is Virginia. It's very close over Michigan State. I'm going to root for either or. Michigan State's fine with me. But we have a rooting interest here in Boston, Massachusetts, and New England. The coach of Auburn is Sharon Mass's own Bruce Pearl.
There you go.
Boston College, 1982.
Wow.
And he's talk about a guy you want to sit down and have a beer with. Oh, my God, he's a riot. He's a terrific guy. So there's something there. I'm going to say Michigan State. But it tells you how evenly matched they are. The longest odds in Vegas are on Auburn, and it's only 7-1. So that tells you how tightly matched these four teams are.
There you go. Excellent. Well, Mr. Everything, do you have any shameless plugs for us this
morning? No, the podcast, the Sports Reporters podcast with Mitch Albom and Mike Rubick is up and running, and as always, riveting stuff.
I'm sure.
Excellent.
We'll talk to you next week.
Very good.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
Joker trailers, Britney news, college scandals, but first I need to talk about Bridget Moynihan and how she's finally broken her silence when it comes to co-parenting their 11-year-old son Ben with Tom Brady. So she has a new book out, which I'm super psyched about because it's about shoes.
Okay. It's not a joke book like Jennifer Garner?
No, it's not a joke. Okay. It's a real book. Jennifer Garner. April fooled me. Our shoes, ourselves, 40 women, 40 stories, and 40 pairs of shoes. Wow. I love this concept, by the way. It's about a bunch of essays by women about a memorable pair of shoes and why they were significant. So one of the things that Bridget Moynihan was talking about is her memorable pair of shoes was a pair of combat boots that she bought during this whole time in 2007 when she was dating Tom Brady. They broke up and then he started dating Giselle and she found out that she was pregnant and how difficult that was and how she was being stalked by the paparazzi and how she really felt out of control. And when she bought these shoes, she felt like she had a little bit more agency and she had control over her life. And then she mentioned, she's married, by the way, to Andrew Frankel. They got married in 2015. And actually, actually, Ben is not the one that they had a baby with. It's Jack.
Jack's
11. Sorry about Jack. That. Tom and I, in the book, she says, made a decision to raise a child together, and we both found partners that not only supported us in raising that child, but also loved our child as if he were their own, she said to People magazine. And I just think that's nice. She's really kept mum about the whole thing, which is, you know, rare.
She's never talked about it.
But it seems like they do it well.
They know? I mean, who knows what goes on behind the scenes. I actually met them at a party once when they were together. It was at the very end of their relationship. But
are you what broke them up?
I did. Tom was like, I was like, Tom.
Yep. Okay, now we know.
Stop hitting on me. Bridget's right there.
She is great in Blue Bloods with Donnie Wahlberg
really
and Tom Selleck.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, terrific.
And she also played Big's wife in Sex and the City. And Sarah Jessica Parker was cheating on Big and then... Yeah.
I watched that episode last night. Honest to God.
I'm sure you did.
I did,
so
right?
Funny.
They were
that's
over
hilarious.
In Saudi Arabia or something.
Right.
They come
some,
back.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Agnes counseling.
Yep.
I know. Well, he's got a thing for SJP.
I know.
I have my eyes closed.
All right. So we're going to talk more about this at 8:40 with Megan Johnson, who's a writer in Boston, but she went to cover the Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman going to Boston Federal
amazing,
Court.
Amazing.
They appeared yesterday. They both wore nice suits. Lori Loughlin looked fabulous, I have to say. And she acted, you know, really kind of like loosey-goosey. She's signing autographs,
like
smiling, you know. And Felicity Huffman looked very serious.
Yeah.
I think
They looked a little different coming out than going in.
Did they?
I thought.
Yeah, you thought? Okay. Hey, I'm sure they did. They could face 5 years in prison.
Exactly.
And lots of fines. And not to mention, their careers might be in the toilet. All right, Britney Spears. I feel so bad for her. She checked into a wellness treatment. Her dad has been super sick, and she's been taking care of him since January. And he's still on the mend, and she's been taking care of him, so now she decided to go to this wellness place to kind of take care of herself because she's got some issues.
She's fragile.
She's fragile. Yep, yep. So she actually posted on Instagram yesterday, fall in love with taking care of yourself, mind, body, and spirit. We all need to take time for a little me time, which is totally true because people who take care of people don't take care of themselves. And let Britney Spears be your beacon.
Whatever.
Do you ever think that I was going to say that in the
No.
I always think of her when I'm mad and have a baseball bat in my hand. Okay. Joaquin Phoenix is in the new movie The Joker, which is out October 4th. I watched the trailer. Couple of takeaways. Dark. Yeah. Also,
it's going to get dark there.
He's a villain, but it's like creepy dark, like
It's all the backstory of the Joker, and I know a lot of online, because Martin Scorsese's producing it.
Yes.
And a lot of comparisons to Taxi Driver.
And Robert De Niro has a cameo in there, and I just want to mention Joaquin Phoenix is really skinny.
For the role.
Like for the role. Oh, yeah. I know, but it's like, I always, like really, like painfully thin. There's shots of him with like leaning over. He almost looks alien-like. But it's creepy, and I probably won't see it.
He nails the laugh.
He does nail the laugh.
And don't forget Prince Harry.
What about Prince Harry?
Prince Harry is going to be taking paternity leave.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And what was your
follow-up? Begs the question.
That begs the question. From what? From what are you taking maternity leave? Thank you very much.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR.
The Lorne and Wiley Show.
This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Look at all these bright, shining faces in the studio this morning, just waiting to see the confrontation that's about to occur. Because it is time. This is Win a Grand in 60 Seconds, and we have a player standing by on the line this morning. Our player's from Bridgewater, Massachusetts. His name is Anthony Fortin, and Anthony is a hospital CAT scan technologist.
Whoa.
Yes. So cool. Good morning, Anthony. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Wearing your lead line cup this morning?
God.
Wow. Just checking.
Got to protect the boys.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. Really?
Go ahead and cough.
I'm so
We understand.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Actually, you'll be needing to wear that just because of the questions that LBF has for you coming up. Because what's going to happen? LBF is going to give you 10 really tough questions. You have 60 seconds to give us 10 really good answers. You get them all right, we give you $1,000 in cash. It sounds that? Yeah, it's pretty simple, right?
Right, yep.
You ready to do this?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's play Win a Grand in 60 seconds.
What is 5 minus 3?
2.
What time is Disney World's 3 o'clock parade?
3 o'clock.
Who is the governor of Massachusetts?
Charlie Baker.
Snuffleupagus is on what TV show?
Sesame Street.
Video Killed the Radio Star was the first video ever aired on what channel?
MTV.
True or false, Liz Taylor met her 7th husband at the Betty Ford Clinic?
True.
What civil rights leader delivered the I Have a Dream speech?
Martin Luther King.
Richard Dawson was the original host of what TV game show?
Family Feud.
Who is Prince Harry married to?
Pat.
What's the capital of New York?
New York City.
Who is Prince Harry married to?
Meghan Markle.
Okay, you finished.
You finished.
Oh, I'm so upset.
Capitals,
you?
Man. Anthony. You were so close. Okay, let's recap the thing here.
Well, let's see. You did awesome. I was, like, ready. I had my hand in my pocket with my $1,000, but then the capital of New York is Albany, not New York.
Albany.
Anthony, you knew that, didn't you?
I know it now.
Oh, you'll never forget.
Okay.
Never, ever.
Okay, but we do have a fine consolation prize for you, Anthony. A pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler, which is really a good show. It's coming up June 19th, Xfinity Center. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. Enjoy the show. I'm sorry, but I'm happy for you. You did well.
That's okay. I had fun. Thank you, guys.
Oh, good. Well, you did a great job. See you in Albany.
Albany.
Starts with an A, like Anthony.
Anybody else, if you want to play this game, you can get a chance, but all you got to do, you must register to play the game. So log on to WRR.com, and you could be playing and winning $1,000 from Century Bank.
80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
105.7 WRR, 80s and more, the Lorne and Wiley Morning Show. And as mentioned just moments ago, ladies and gentlemen, ripped from the headlines. Hollywood comes to Boston for justice in the federal court system. And so we have a special report for you this morning on the college scandal here, the Varsity Blues scandal.
Yes, we have Megan Johnson, who is in the media scrum outside the courtroom. She's a great Boston writer, and also you should follow her on Twitter because she's hilarious. Megan, welcome to the Lorne and Wiley Show.
Hi, thank you.
So, I have a couple of really important questions, but the first one is it Lori Loughlin or Lori Loughlin?
How do you pronounce it?
I say Loughlin.
Me too. But yeah, everybody on Channel 5 saying Loughlin, and I want to write them a strongly worded letter.
Okay. So you're gonna go with Loughlin then?
Yeah, Loughlin.
Okay, that's what we'll go with then.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to know is, first of all, what was the mood outside of the courtroom before and then after?
Did it change at all?
Okay, so before, I think the word that really epitomized it is hectic.
Mm-hmm.
There was throngs of photographers and TV cameramen, and you could hear like some choppers overhead.
Wow.
Goodfellas.
I know. Goodfellas. And then there was kind of a mix of like Lori Loughlin super fans who were outside with face masks with her face on them.
Wow.
And
then a few detractors who had like signs that were like, please pay my tuition.
Did police keep those two factions separated or?
Yes.
I see.
Who were the guys that kept yelling, get out of the way, get out of the way? Were those the court officers or were those the cops?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, put someone in charge.
Were they signing autographs at all?
No. So the only autograph moment was the previous night when Lori got into her hotel. That's when she was signing. She actually signed like 15 to 20 autographs outside of her hotel. But none in the morning or after.
That's bad form when you're being indicted.
Yeah. Don't be doing that.
It seemed to me that Lori Loughlin was a little bit more jubilant. Not jubilant, but like a little smiley. And then Felicity Huffman seemed to be very serious. Also, whose hand was she holding? William H. Macy wasn't there.
Everyone's identifying that as her brother.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes things weird.
Wow. No kidding. Because I was going to say maybe as her brother, and I thought, that's ridiculous. No kidding.
Felicity came in at like 11:30 in the morning, kind of a surprise. I was like in the coffee shop down the street, so I was like, shoot, and I just like ran down there.
Are they friends at all?
What?
Are they friends at all, Felicity Huffman and...
You know, I don't really know if they're friends. They probably are acquaintances just because everyone seems to know each other in that realm.
But where was William H. Macy? Is it
the
weird that he wasn't
of
there?
The day.
Yeah. It's weird that he's not there, don't you think? I mean, just as a support.
I was a little surprised. Yeah. I was surprised he wasn't there. He probably assumes that he's trying to avoid making it even more of a
media circus.
Maybe you had to take the kids to see a tutor. Perhaps.
Good point, Hank.
That's it. Yeah, I went to see the tutor.
Megan, why do you think we're so fascinated? I mean, it's bringing the country together. Why are we so fascinated by this case?
So I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. But I think for a lot of us, the strongest quality is kind of the nostalgia for the iconic TV shows like Full House and Desperate Housewives that, you know, most people watched. I mean, I know that's definitely what drew in a lot of the fans for Lori were, you know, people who were raised on Full House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think there are any other clues hidden in old Full House episodes? Because this whole caper came from an episode. Do you think, you know, investigators should really comb through those old episodes?
No, I do not.
You don't believe in that. Okay.
Okay.
Do you think one of the fascinations, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think there are two fascinations. First of all, you got the super fans, you know, the wacky people are just crazy about them, and they don't care what they did. And then the other fascination is from the people who say, hey, screw these people because, you know, rich people are doing things that we can't do, and we hope they get justice.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that. I've been kind of, like, reading through some of the comments that people have left on my stories, and there are people who are very angry about people who are not directly affected by, you know, Lori Loughlin's actions. People are very angry about it, and that really raises a lot of emotion.
Megan, I think Brian mentioned this to you, but I think now it's time to go to a deep dive in the Hot Pocket situation. I know everyone's
talking.
I mean, the Hot Pocket air is involved in this. This story gets just better every day.
Yeah, I need you to get dig deep on that one for me, please.
Absolutely. I know. To say, like, I am the heir to the Hot Pocket throne, I cannot even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan, thank
fantastic.
You so much for sharing that.
No problem.
Thank God you went and I didn't have to. So. Anyway, Megan Johnson, you can find all of her. Her story is in Vulture, and she writes about tons of pop culture all the time, and you should follow her on Twitter. It's at Megan Johnson, right?
Megan Sarah J.
Oh, at Megan Sarah J. All right.
Very cool.
Hey, thank you very much, Megan.
All right, thank you.
Stay in touch because we want to know the latest dope on this, okay?
Okay.
Gotcha.
Bye.
'80s and more. 105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show. Okay, so you ever drive through a parking, you spot a parking spot, there's one parking spot, and you go for it, and somebody else goes for it at the same time, and there's a standoff somewhere.
Yeah, and usually it ends, you know,
could end
with a finger.
Could end badly.
In L.A., it was the standoff to end all standoffs. It was now known as Team Black Car versus Team Silver Car, and these two drivers faced off for nearly 2 hours over a parking spot.
That's amazing.
So this girl is sitting in her apartment, and she looks out and sees this happening, and she posts keeps posting on Twitter and she's like, "What is happening here?" And she's like, "It started at 6:20, and then she wanted to make it to the 7:20 mark, because an hour and a half later, they finally."
And the situation, too, is it's a parallel parking situation.
Yes.
That's right. You got one guy in front and one guy in the back.
So the guy goes to back into the space.
Team black car.
And then Team silver car was like, no way, and scoots in. And then they're kind of like, you know, almost like a T-bone-y situation.
I'm team black car. No question about it.
Team silver car, bad person.
Yeah, bad person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that it really ended. It ended peacefully. Here's the girl. The girl was interviewed because her Twitter got like millions of video views. She has like shared.
I just saw two
times.
Cars kind of like in a stalemate. It was like 10 minutes later. I looked out my window and I noticed that they're still just sitting there completely idle.
Could you see the drivers?
No, they were just like on their phones sitting there like being patient. It was like a really beautiful display of patience. It was so beautiful. I wish that they would have like gotten out and like said hi to each other or something. I think everybody kind of was hoping for that.
You know that would never happen in Boston.
No, because it would be, I mean, we can't drive down 95 without getting out of our cars and beating people up.
Exactly, right.
And it just, like, the amazing thing, too, is because they sat there for so long that one of the cars that was already parked left.
Yeah, so.
So they both had a spot, so they both parked and didn't get out of their cars.
They just sat there.
They just sat there. And she even went down. She wrote notes. Like, she had the time to write notes. And like, hey, I watched this whole thing, and congratulations on your patience, and blah, blah, blah. Like, contact
me. Resilience is inspiring.
Yes.
Thank you for the hour and a half of entertainment. I'll never forget you. I hope you and Black Car can be friends after this. Please email me at silvercarsblackcars@gmail.com to tell your side of the story.
Yeah.
It's too bad she couldn't get, you know, sound of them talking to each other. But if she had, I think
she must have left because they did get sound of the drivers talking.
Really?
They did.
It must have sounded like this.
What are you doing? I think I'm parking my car. You can't do that. You can't just sneak in from the back like that.
I'm not sneaking.
I didn't even know you were parking. You were just sitting there three spaces up.
Well, if you didn't think I was parking, why did you put it in head first?
Well, that's the way I park. Anyway, you didn't start backing in until I pulled in.
I was in the middle of a conversation.
Hey, buddy, what can I tell you?
All right, the point is, I was here first.
I was closer to this space than you were.
But I'm backing in. You can't put it in head first.
I can if I have room.
Are you going to move the car?
No, I'm not going to move the car.
Come on, we'll put it in the garage.
I am not putting it in the garage. It's my space.
You're not getting that space. I mean, I'll sleep in my car if I have to. I'll die out here.
80s and more. 1057 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wiley Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.